ascension back into heaven and before the Holy Spirit is given to the disciples. So we're in that little window where Jesus has risen from the dead and he has made a couple appearances with his disciples. And today we're going to be in the part where he makes his third appearance to the disciples just before his ascension back to the Father. John 21:15-18. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Verse 18, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." Dear Lord, we love you and we praise you, Lord. Thank you that your will is going to be done in this service. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your strength, for the messenger. Let us receive the message. Let us look past what we need to look past and let us focus on the message and not the messenger, Lord. Thank you that you are going to be changing lives today and that you are going to be encouraging because chains are going to be broken today. And we love you and we praise you. And everybody in the church building said, amen. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So like I said, where we're at today in our text, Jesus is risen from the dead. He is now making, in our text today, he is making his third appearance to his disciples. And the disciples have left the festival and now in Jerusalem, and now they are in Galilee. You say, well, why'd they leave Jerusalem? Why are they in Galilee? Well, Jesus, before he was arrested and before he was crucified, he said to the disciples, "Hey guys, I will meet you guys in Galilee when I'm raised up." Now, they didn't get it at the time, but now it's making sense. And Mary Magdalene, when she was at the tomb of the risen Savior Jesus Christ, the angel said to her, "Tell the disciples I go before them to Galilee." So they're being obedient to the Lord. They're going to Galilee. They're going to the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee. And so they're there kind of waiting on Jesus. And Peter, kind of the spokesman for the group or the leader at the moment, and he becomes a massive leader of the early church. But Peter, they're on the sea. Four of the 12 disciples, which we're dealing with 11 disciples now, Judas ain't in the picture. Four of the original 12 disciples were fishermen. And every single one of these guys, except for Judas, were from Galilee. So Jesus just told these guys, "Hey, I want you to go back to the old hometown. I want you to go back to where it all started. I'll meet you there." So they're on the Sea of Galilee. Peter sees a boat there and he says, "You know what, guys? I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go fishing. And so Peter gets in the boat, and because he's that leader, he's that guy that people just want to follow. As Peter goes and gets in the boat, the rest of the disciples get in the boat and they go fishing all night long. That's what they did back then, fished all night long. And so they're out there fishing. They don't catch a single thing. So as the sun is starting to come up, they're heading back towards the shore and they hear a voice from the beach. They can't quite make out the figure yet. I mean, the sun's just coming up, but they hear this voice saying, "Hey fellas, have you guys caught anything?" And they're like, "Nope, nope." No fisherman wants to say nope, but they didn't catch anything. Not yet. Well, the voice on the beach says, "Hey, throw your net out on the right side." Now, if I was these guys, I would, at that very moment, I think I would have been like, "Boom, I think that's Jesus." Because this had already happened to the guys before, you know, they were fishing. This is how Jesus met these early fishermen disciples, was on the Sea of Galilee when they were fishing. They didn't catch anything, so throw the net out on the other side. They caught a bunch of fish. Well, anyways, they're not quite getting it yet. But they do throw the net out on the other side, and they catch a ton of fish. They catch 153 fish, actually. A lot of people, a lot of commentators and stuff like that have tried to explain why we have the exact number of 153 fish. A lot of that stuff makes sense to me. Some of it I don't know, but I do know that because I've done my fair share of hanging out with fishermen, and I know one thing that fishermen like to do is I like to count their fish. You know what I mean? I mean, there's pictures in my house of my father with the fish that he caught that day. We like to keep track of the fish we caught. So for whatever reason, it's in the Word of God that they caught 153 fish. And I'm sure there's a deeper meaning to that. I'm not going to try and explain that one to you today. They catch a bunch of fish. Now, as they're pulling in all these fish, John is like, hey, Peter, that's got to be Jesus. That's got to be the Lord. Peter being Peter jumps into the water, swims to the shore, and he's hanging out with Jesus. And Jesus has already got breakfast ready for everybody. It's a fish breakfast, which sounds completely repulsive. You know, I mean, when you think about breakfast, I don't ever wake up, man. I don't ever wake up and you know what'd be good right now? A little bit of fish. Well, I could go for a little fish sandwich right now. That doesn't sound, but this is a cultural thing. And so anyways, Jesus has already got a fish breakfast prepared for him. And as they're pulling up the fish, Jesus says, hey, bring some of those fish that you guys caught. We're going to have a feast. So they have this breakfast. And I want you to keep in mind that since Peter's denial of Jesus three times, he rejected Jesus three times to save his own skin, okay? Now, before we get in a bad place, you know, talking bad about Peter, you know, we've never been in that situation, you know? But anyways, this is the first opportunity that Jesus really has to single out Peter and to have a man to savior talk with his disciple. So it's after breakfast. Jesus and Peter are staying by the fire. Now let's go to slide two. Is everybody with me so far? Verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? So talking about commentators and their opinions and all their research, you can exhaust yourself trying to figure out what people think Jesus is talking about when he says this word right here, are these words, do you love me more than these? Some people say, and this is a thing, some people say that Jesus is saying, Simon, do you love me more than Peter, James, and John love me? Or he is Peter. Simon, do you love me more than the other disciples love me? Peter, do you love me more than all these other guys love me? Now, I'm not buying that for whatever reason. I'll give you a couple reasons why I'm not buying that. It's because if you know anything about the disciples, well, first of all, it just doesn't seem like something our Lord and Savior would do. Peter, do you love me? I know you love me, Peter. But Peter, do you love me more than all these other guys love me? You know, kind of putting Peter against everybody else. And that doesn't sound right to me. And if you know anything about the disciples, these guys were constantly, often, they were fighting back and forth about who was the greatest disciple. So this doesn't make sense to me that Jesus would be like, Pete, it's just me and you here. You love me more than all these other guys love me, true or false? I don't think that's what's going on. We'll back that up with look at Luke 9 and 46. An argument arose among them, the disciples, as to which of them was the greatest. See, that doesn't make sense to me. These guys already had this kind of sibling rivalry going on, and that's not the type of thing you want to do is kind of stoke that fire up. Yes, I love you more than all these other guys love you. That should be clear for you to see. He's not saying that, not in my take. Luke 22 and verse 24, at the Last Supper, right before Jesus' arrest, right before his betrayal, when he's spending these last crucial moments or hours with the disciples, you know what these turkeys were doing? You know what these guys were doing? They were arguing among themselves, who's the best disciple? Who loves Jesus the most? Who's Jesus' favorite? Look, Luke 22:24. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. So this is something that was constantly going on between these guys. So I really don't believe Jesus was saying, Peter, do you love me more than everybody else loves me? I don't think so. And a lot of commentators say, well, this is what he's saying. He's saying, Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than you love these other disciples? Do you love me more than you love the boys? Do you love me more than you love the group, your pals, your friends? And I believe that is correct. I honestly believe that's what he's talking about. But I think it's deeper than that. Because one thing about Jesus that I've noticed is when Jesus is teaching, when he's in a teaching moment, he seems to he uses what he observes in his surroundings. Look at the lilies of the field. Look at the birds of the air. That sort of thing. You know, don't be unequally yoked. I believe that Jesus used what was in front of him to make his points. So obviously the disciples were close at hand. And I believe he was talking about, Simon, do you love me more than you love these other people? Because that's what God wants out of all of us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. I do believe that, but I believe there's more to it. Now look, Jesus called these guys back to the old hometown. They were all Galileans. Peter was a fisherman. They were on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. You know, Peter, do you love me more than the sound of the seagulls? Do you love me more than the crashing of the waves? Peter, do you love me more than the boats rocking in the surf? Peter, do you love me more than all of this? Peter, do you love me more than your old way of life? Do you love me more than the old way? Because Peter, you're in the valley of decision. You know, you're in this place, Pete, where you just denied me three times to save your own skin. And this could go either way for you. We're already here. You already went fishing last night. And by the way, Pete, you see how things work out when you try and do it without me. It's just a lot of wasted time. But you see what happens. You can do all things through Christ. So, Pete, here we are. The choice is yours. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter, more than you love the guys? Peter, do you love me more than your old way of life? Because it only takes a couple steps and you're back in that boat if you want to, and you can go do the thing. At first, Peter, no. Luke 9 and verse 62. Luke 9 and verse 62. This is what Jesus said. When he was talking to people about being his disciple or being his follower, and all these people were giving excuses why they couldn't do it. This is what Jesus says, Luke 9 and verse 62. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus just said, look, if you're plowing a field, one thing you don't want to do is look back because you're going to get off course. You're going to mess up your future. You know, what he's saying is don't look back. And he's saying, Peter, you made some pretty bad blunders, some pretty bad mistakes. Don't let that destroy you. Don't let your past destroy you. Don't let the pains of your past destroy you. You know, Jesus said, don't look back, move forward. Move forward. And Peter has this opportunity right now. You can go back to your old way of life, but Peter, it's going to be like it was last night fishing for you. It's not going to be what you think. You know, and if we think back to the Israelites who were freed out of bondage, out of Egypt, it didn't take too long before they got really, really tired of that manna. It didn't take them too long to get tired of that wonderful, amazing angels' food that God provided for them every single day. This was a miracle. But they began to grumble and complain and think about all the wonderful food they had back in Egypt. They began to gripe and complain. Remember the leeks and the garlic and the fish and the blah, 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 blah. Remember how good we had it? Hey, guys, remember how good we had it when we were in slavery? When they were ordering, you know, remember how awesome? But see, that's how we get sometimes as Christian folks. We look at the good stuff, right? Because there was good stuff back then, but we also mix in the horrible bad stuff with it, you know? It's like, oh, that wasn't so bad. Dude, we were slaves. We were in bondage. And he's saying, Peter, look, the choice is yours. And it's the same for all of us. It's our choice. He's not going to make us serve him. Look at Isaiah 43 and verse 18. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. And I think that some of us is a good possibility that we're just stuck in the past, that we can't have a productive future until we get rid of the burdens of the past. And we are bound by our past. We're bound by our past mistakes. Sometimes other people will not shut up about our past. All right? Can I get a witness? You know, I'm not that person anymore, but God bless you. You know, sometimes we won't let go of our past. And I know that Peter's in this situation, man, where he's just kind of eating himself up about what he did, you know, because he was so sure of himself. He told Jesus before he denied him three times, like, no way, I'm going with you. I will die for you. I will die with you. And in his heart, that's what he believed. But when the rubber meets the road, it was a completely different thing. So Peter's having to deal with all that. John 21, verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Okay, Simon, if you love me, if you truly love me, then I got some plans for you. I want you to get back to work. And that's the beautiful thing about our Savior. He's not into wasting time. If you see Jesus and his conversations and his teachings, he is always right to the point. He's always, matter of fact, when someone says something that's not important to what he wants to talk about, he's like, yeah, we're not talking about that. We're going to talk about this. You know, he was right to the point, you know. So he says, Peter, if you love me, then dust yourself off because we got a lot of work to do, brother. He's calling Peter, you are who I picked out. You are a leader, and I need you to fulfill that role that you were created for. So same for all of us, man. Let's go to slide three. We can't let our past keep us from our future. Amen. Not our mistakes. Not even thinking, well, I've accomplished enough. No, you haven't. We serve the Most High God. It's not about our accomplishments. It's about serving the Most High God. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. So John 21, verse 16. He said to him a second time, now, this is Peter and Jesus, man to Savior, man to brother, man to friend, friend to friend. These guys loved each other so much. And Peter needed this moment. But right now, his heart might start to beat a little faster. Well, Jesus, why are you saying the same thing over and over again? Did I not give the right answer the first time? Why are you doing this around the fellas? Come on. John 21, 16, he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. If you love me, Simon, I need you to tend my sheep. If you love me, I need you to be about my business. Amen. But I want to notice something, or I want you guys to notice something that jumped out at me. And I don't know if I ever saw this before. Maybe I did, but I haven't been in this passage in a good while. But Jesus, in these three verses where he asks him the same question basically three times, not one time does he call him Peter. He calls him Simon, son of John, all three times. Simon, son of John. So that's important, you know, because Jesus Christ changed Simon's name to Peter. We have that. Matthew 16 and verse 18. This is Jesus. We're jumping back in time a little bit. And I tell you, he's talking to Peter, but at this moment his name's Simon. And I tell you, you are Peter, which means rock, which means strong. And I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, that's a powerful verse right there. Let's take a little detour real fast. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus is talking about his church, what he established. Jesus Christ established the church, and he says, Satan will not destroy this church. There's no way Satan will destroy my church. Okay? So think about the church in Vietnam. Think about the church in China, where the people are getting saved every single day, and they can't begin to count how many people are coming to the Lord in China. For one thing, it's illegal, but the church is just growing, 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 and it's growing under persecution. Satan, no matter what he does, he cannot squash or crush God's church, God's people. And that's what he's saying. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against what I have established. It will do its purpose. Think about the church in Iran. Have you thought about the church in Iran lately? There's a lot of focus on Israel, and God bless them. You know, God bless them, and I mean that. There are so many brothers and sisters in Christ that we have in Iran that are scared to death, they're suffering, and they're dying. I'm not getting political. I'm just saying, don't just pray for Israel. Okay, you pray for those Iranians. You pray for the Iranian Christians. Specifically, those are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And they're trapped by their government, and they're dealing with the death of their loved ones and themselves, and they're going through all this horrible stuff. And it's not their fault. This is just where they live. We are so blessed to live in this country. You know, but we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. I'm going to drink this water. So in Matthew 16 and verse 18, Peter just had this amazing revelation. He said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. And Jesus says, hey, flesh and blood did not tell you that, but God told you that. He says, hey, I'm changing your name, by the way. You're no longer Simon, but you're Peter. You are a rock. You're a rock. He's saying, you're going to be a foundational part of my early church. You're going to be a foundational part of the church. What I have picked out for you is so important, Peter. So now we're jumping forward, and there's this man-to-man thing going on. He's like, well, if you love me, tend my flock. If you love me, feed my sheep. Now, Jesus is the great shepherd. And he's saying, Peter, I need you to be a little shepherd. I need you to be the shepherd under me and to watch over my people and make sure no false teaching comes in. Make sure that my people are hearing the sound word of God. This is so important, Peter, in this stage. And I need you. Matter of fact, 1 Peter 1 and verse 14, I got this in the New Living Translation. So 1 Peter 1 and 14. And this is what Peter says. This is what Peter says down the road. Because right now Jesus is calling him Simon over and over again. And what he's saying is, hey, you know what? You're not acting like the disciple Peter. You're acting like Simon, son of John. You're acting like the guy that I met that day on the Sea of Galilee. That I said, hey, come with me, Simon, son of John, and I'll make you a fisher of men. There's been so much that's went on. You're in this weird place where you can go either way, man. You can go back to your old way of life, or you can follow me, because you already know, Peter, to follow me, that ain't the easy road. But you can climb right back on that boat like we never met, dude, and have some really cool stories to tell. This is what he says. This is what Peter says down the road, man, in his own letter. 1 Peter 1 and verse 14. So you must live as God's obedient children. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. Peter says, don't look back. Don't look back. It's not as fun as you thought it was. It's not what you think. Don't look back. Don't be like the Israelites are like, man, we had it made back in Egypt, dude. I could eat all the fish I wanted that I could steal from the Egyptians. They were going to, you know, they were killing us. We were working 7 days a week nonstop. They were beating us. We were slaves. And we forget about that, man. We were slaves back then. Peter says, don't slip back. Don't slip back. There's nothing there for you. And this is cool. He says, you didn't know any better then. And see, we can't plead ignorance now. We know the truth. So here's Paul Rott. When hey everybody, Paul Rott. but when I go back and I start messing with things I got no business messing with, you know, mentally, physically, whatever it is, man, that makes for one absolutely miserable Christian person, dude. You know what I mean? You are just miserable because of that conviction, because we know better. You know, can I get a witness? Let's go to slide 4. He said to him the third time, it's the third time, as if the second time wasn't enough. Like, Jesus, okay, so how's it been going? You kind of just appear and then disappear. What you been doing? Where you been, Jesus? No, Peter, we're going to talk about this. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, not Peter, follower of the risen Savior, but Simon, son of John. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, which is understandable. You're talking to your loved one and they ask you 3 times in a row, do you love me? Like, yeah, baby, you know I do. Yes, I do. Did you not see the cornflakes you like? I bought them. You know, you baby. Why do you keep asking me this? No. But here's Jesus asks him 3 times, man. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. He's like, Jesus, one thing I know about you is you know everything about me. You know me better than I know myself. I just said the other day, I will never deny you. And you said, Pete, you're going to deny me 3 times. And I did. You know my heart. And if you search my heart, Lord, you know that I love you. You know this. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. If you love me, I got need of you. If you love me, we got to get back to work. But we can't get stuck looking at our past. So look at Philippians 3 and verse 13. And Jesus is saying, Peter, are you really in for the long haul? Are you really in no matter where this road takes you? Because if you love me, it's not the easy road. You already know, Peter, that to be my follower, things do not always work out the way that you think they should work out, Peter. We were marching into Jerusalem a while back. Peter, you and the other guys were just so sure we were going to kick out the Romans and we would be chilling in Herod's palace, or we'd be sitting high on the hog by now. But it didn't work out like that at all. Peter, if you follow me, it does not mean I'm jumping through your hoops. If you follow me, it doesn't mean that things are going to turn out exactly the way you want them. But are you in it for the long haul? Are you in it because you love me? Because you love me. Philippians 3 and verse 13, this is the Apostle Paul weighing in. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. My accomplishments, I'm not worried about that. My failures, I'm not going to let them hold me back. The pain that I have suffered, that's not holding me back. I'm not going there, man. When that enters my mind, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I'm not focusing on that. I'm focusing on God's goodness. Can I get a witness? Jesus says, our Paul, through the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul, who was once Saul, then he got a new name to Paul. You see that all through Scripture. Abram became Abraham. Jacob became Israel. So we got this situation right here where the Apostle Paul says, I don't let that hinder me. And if you know about the Apostle Paul, this dude had a past, man. He had a past. So what was he? Well, he was a murderer of Christians. He murdered Christians. He's like, that's, I'm forgiven of that. Are you serious? That heavy, heavy load of murdering Christians and seeing the life go out of their eyes? or that joy that you felt when you pulled people out of their churches, you let that go. Yes, Jesus has forgiven me of that. My sins have been washed away from that. I am delivered. I am set free. I'm not that person. Well, I heard about you. Oh, I know about you. I know what you used to do. I know it. Yeah, okay, whatever, fine, man. Tell the truth, shame the devil, man. But that ain't me no more, you know? No, I heard about you 3 weekends ago. Yeah, you're right. But I've repented of that. I'm not that person anymore. I've repented of that. Can I get a witness? Straining forward to what lies ahead. Paul is saying, man, I'm giving it my all. I'm giving it my all to follow Jesus Christ. I was a really, really good sinner. And if you guys know me, and some of you guys certainly know me from back then, I was a really, really good sinner. And I could be a really good sinner like 2 decisions from now. You know, really, really bad day, I could be there. Really, really good day, I could be there. Just like Peter. Just like Peter. There's the boat, Pete. What you want to do, man? You love me? Do you love me more than you love your old way of life? Do you love me knowing that this could cost you everything? But Paul, the Apostle Paul said, I'm straining forward. I'm giving it my all. And so Jesus asks him 3 times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? A couple things are going on here, in my opinion. God, Jesus Christ, is giving Peter the opportunity, 3 opportunities to really search your heart. Saying, search your heart. I'm not going to make you do this, Peter. I've got some plans for you, but I'm not going to make you do this. Search your heart, Peter. Where are we at in our relationship, Peter? Amen? And see, what Jesus is doing is Jesus is leaving the 99 to go after the one. This is Jesus and Peter's time alone, and Peter needed this so bad. He needed this so bad to have that heart-to-heart with Jesus and to talk about this. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? Aren't you glad Jesus left the 99 to come after me? You know, aren't you so glad? Luke 15, verse 5, and when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. To me, that is so beautiful. We have the shepherd, which is Jesus, leaving the 99 to go out to the one that's in danger, that's lost. And he finds that sheep. He finds Dalton. He finds Chelsea. He finds Paul. He finds Dean. He finds Sister Claudia. He finds us. And he picks us up and holds us. He says, let me hold you for a while. Let me take that burden from you. All the weight of your past. He says, let me hold you. Let me just take that burden from you. And he rejoices with us. He rejoices. I found my sheep. He says, Nancy, I found my sheep. You're my little sheep and I love you. You know, he says, Brian, I found my sheep and I love you. Or lamb, however that works. I don't know. Like, is a sheep a bunch? Never mind. Do your research, preacher man, before you start talking. Yeah, I'm working on it. Here's the beautiful thing. When I say, God, I'm sorry, and I mean it, because sometimes we can say we're sorry, we don't really mean it. You know, sometimes we got the desired consequence out of our action. Does that make sense? Sometimes I know I'm doing bad, I'm being bad, but this is what I want to do. I want to do this. And then we do it, and like, well, I guess I need to say I'm sorry. Well, that's not what he's talking about. But when we see it the way he sees it, like Peter's heart is crushed, bro. He knows what he did. But see, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's for all of us, man. You know, we are forgiven. We are washed in the blood. We are saved by grace. And he says, don't let that past look all shiny and sparkling Don't let that be tempting you, because you were in bondage. You were a slave back then. And don't look at your hurts and your mistakes and your rejections, and don't let that hold you back, man. We're moving forward. Peter, there's the boat, or there's your cross. You know? Which one's it going to be, Pete? Let's go to verse 5. There's Cutie Rose. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry, Cutie Sage. There's too many little cuties. I got to tell you, I was like, whoa, what's Dina doing with that little baby? That's cool. It's cool. She knows what she's doing. Okay. All right. Back on track. Slide 5. Now look, this three question thing, it takes a really hardcore turn right here. And that's why I put this verse in here, man. Do you love me, Peter? Then feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Then tend my sheep. He lets Peter in a little bit on his future. He says, Pete, this is what you got waiting on you. You got the boat. You can go out there like the last 3+ years never happened, man. But if you love me, I need you to feed my sheep. John 21 and verse 18, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. That's your old way of life, Pete. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. What's he talking about? He's talking about the way that Peter is going to die. Saying, Peter, this is what's going to happen if you follow me. If you love me, because the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says, if you love me, this is what's waiting for you, Pete. John 21 and verse 19. This he said to show by what kind of death he was going to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. He said, Peter, you're going to die. Not of old age, not of some virus, not of some plague, not of drowning, none of that, Pete. You're not going to die in your sleep. You're going to have to stretch out your hands, brother. So church history says that Peter got crucified. Church history said that when Peter learned that he was going to be crucified, he said, I'm not worthy to die the same way my Lord and Savior died. And the Romans obliged him and said, okay, Peter. And they crucified him upside down. So Peter died following the Lord. Peter died a sold out servant of the Most High God. But Jesus said, Peter, this is what's going to happen to you, bro. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Because to love Jesus, to follow Jesus, our sins are forgiven and joys everlasting are waiting for us. But to follow Jesus, that means I'm willing to go anywhere, do anything, whatever you call me to do. Whatever that looks like, because we can glorify God in the way we die even. Look, he said this to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. Think about that for a minute. Matthew 16 and verse 24, Jesus talking to the disciples. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This is well before Jesus died on that cross. He was foreshadowing his own future. Everybody knew about crucifixion. They were being ruled by the Romans. They knew what happened because crucifixion was not for Romans. Romans could not be crucified. That was for enemies of the state, you know. And Jesus says, look, if you want to follow me, you got to deny yourself, man. Not going back and forth. No, not living this way and then this way on Sunday morning. Can I get a witness? Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Right? I'm doing the best that I can. And then he was talking to the thunder and if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. That's what he asks of us, man. John 6, 67 and 68. So we're gonna finish with this. I think we're gonna finish with this. Okay, anyways. John 6, 67 and 68. Jesus in his ministry, we're jumping back in time again. Jesus in his ministry had this thing go down where people started thinking, man, this is a hard teaching that Jesus has given us here. This is hardcore stuff. I like the fish. I like the miracles. I like seeing that crippled guy get up and walk. I didn't sign up for this. And so a lot of the followers of Jesus Christ that were in it for the show and the bennies, they start leaving by the droves, whatever that word is, they just start leaving, man. Tons of followers. Jesus was super popular. He was trending on all the services. He was super popular, but just like that, a lot of people started leaving. That's a hard message. So Jesus comes to his 12 disciples, and this is what he said. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? After that day, he says, hey guys, that's a tough crowd, huh? It's like, you guys want to leave too? You want to leave? It's what Simon Peter said. It's what Peter said. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Way back then, Simon has this revelation. There's nothing in this world for me now because I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. This world has nothing for me. Only you and you alone have the words of eternal life. So this was such a crucial time for Peter. Peter needed this time with God so bad, with Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, okay, you love me? Follow me. Follow me because I went to the cross, Peter. Follow me wherever it leads you. And that's got to be our heart, that we're willing to follow God wherever. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we praise you. Thank you that this people, us, are your servants. We are your children. And we are a child that wants to make their father proud. And we are obedient servants, Lord. Give us the desire to want to love you more, to be obedient to you more, and to follow you wherever it leads us. And we love you and praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So look, give the Lord some praise. We are going to have lunch. I know I sent out a thing saying we're not going to have lunch, but if you're staying for The Chosen, if you're staying for episode 4 of The Chosen, this is where it gets really good. It's all good. But if you're staying for episode 4 of The Chosen, there's lunch over there waiting on you, okay? Now listen, here's another biggie. Tuesday night, not Monday, but Tuesday night, we are going to have our July prayer meeting. July 1st, which is Tuesday night, we're going to have our monthly prayer meeting right here at 6:30 p.m. So if you can come pray with us, come pray.